an illustration of why you have to prep, like, come way early if you're teaching, right? Because everything will go wrong in camp.
Especially in the copier.
Yes, right.
Still think of a case study, you should take them into the copier room with 5 minutes to go and have them have like 100 copies.
Yeah.
And we have to have a paper jam already in it. So now, go.
Right. So today, I made my first copy and it came out on yellow paper. All right, I got odds and ends, but I went ahead and I made a set of objectives as my contract to you for this class period. All right, so look at period 13. It has all the blanks on it. That's so you can write, and that's so you can retain and remember and record. Retain and remember the same, right? Anyway, I think it's realize, retain, and... What do you need?
He's grabbing
it. Oh, pins. Pins of shame. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Before it's over, I want you to list the 5 abbreviated goals for the upcoming course. I worked hard on trying to make them more memorable for us and the class as well. So you'll see what I've tried to do with that. Successfully list all the chapter content phrases. I've got the flashcards to threaten you with if you can't do that. And then describe the expectations for preparation of the upcoming course. And that will be on the day or early part of the week before you teach. What are we expecting? What are the products and steps that you would take? And then finally, if we have time, we'll talk a little bit more about just some more techniques of managing open discussion. All right? Y'all good with that? So let's see if I can get done with 2 minutes left to go back over all these. So just to kind of, the idea being that you would be rewarded by the consciousness that you learned something, right? Or did you? So you probably can't do all these right now. Maybe you can, in which case it should be fairly short. All right. And I don't know for sure if I've got the order correct here or not. But it doesn't matter. They're going to come up when they come up. So we're down to the last preparation lesson. Oops. So, one of our rhythms we kind of recommending is the beginning of every class, what are the goals? Well, these are not the goals for Timothy. This is the goals for this workshop. You guys, we've spent 13 lessons together. Yes?
In response to the goals, it's similar. It's not too far off of it. If I've been talking to other folks and saying, like, hey, this is a great teacher course, and I like how it gives structure, can we send them information? Or
please do.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah, in fact, I prefer you not give credit or anything like that. My comments, and this is a question that comes up a lot, because people are on our website, and they say, can I use the material? And David Williams or Brad or whoever gets the email to the general, you know, Embry-Hill's address, sends it to whomever you might say wrote the material or taught the material or whoever's name is on the PDF file that's on the website. And my answer is always, if it's scriptural and useful, use it and don't give any acknowledgement. Okay. And for a few guys whom I know, I say, if you make it better, send it back to me, you know,
yes.
We'll prove something in there. So that's happened a few times. Somebody will add a lesson where we didn't quite get to all the lessons or something. All right, good question. And by the way, David Williams is really in the process of going through all the adult material and organizing it and putting some key text for searching purposes around each one, eliminating duplication, completing sets that are not completed, and all that kind of thing, which is quite an effort, but that's David. I don't know how he also works for a living, but anyway, so all of that's going to get better. He's been polling teachers and built some material. Now, here's the problem. I'm going to get off on a rabbit trail here. Is you can kind of tell this course, this workshop, is not about reusing somebody else's material. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It's all like start from scratch and think it through yourself. And the other thing is that every class membership is different, right? So you come on a material and you got middle school class and they're struggling and their parents are having all kind of trouble spiritually, and man, that's a different class than maybe even the middle school class 2 years or 3 years earlier, really. you got to think about that. Or you got a bunch of college kids, or you've got something else going on in the church. All of that will change the student needs. Remember, we're taking the text that we learned from and the student needs and kind of meeting in the middle. So what do they need the most? Now, our disadvantage in the workshop is we don't know who's coming to the class. But if the elders come to you and say, I want you to co-teach this material with so-and-so, it's going to be in the high school class, and they're studying the book of Colossians, you got to think about that. I would ask questions like, well, who are they? How old are they? What's the distribution of age and sex? And when did they last study this? And have they studied textual things very much? Are they good at that kind of thing? And on. You just ask all kind of questions, not to mention going to get to know some of them and beforehand and try to do that. So we didn't do that in here. But you're kind of getting that at the themes, right? These are the goals. I want you to go out of here with it. I want you to think or do differently. And here are the things I want you to think about differently. And I hope this course, if you never teach a class in your whole life ever again, I hope it will make you a different kind of student when you go into an adult class. Right? Two ways. One is you might be more critical of the teacher, right? And when you say, man, he is or she is not managing, he is not managing the time. I don't know where we're going with this. This handout is not useful. There is no handout. I'm not retaining anything. You know what I mean? All that. Second, though, you should have a lot more sympathy for the teacher, right? Because you can see that they're wrestling with a kind of an unruly crowd who wants to go in all different directions and make their speeches. And they see a Bible class as kind of an act of worship as opposed to an actual endeavor to become a disciple. So think about that. And you, all right. Here are our goals. I want you to believe and act on the conviction that teaching is an essential authority role in the local church with spiritual purpose, commission, qualification. I hope you remember the passages that we would point to show that. So if you are asked to teach a class or volunteer to do it, you're volunteering for an authority role, a leadership role. You're responsible to take a flock and get them to follow you to a place that you will choose. That is what will change their lives. Do you see that? I don't know if that's the way you viewed Bible classes before, but that's the way you ought to look at it. I want you to be, in the future, plan and teach class periods that match student needs to Bible truth. That's that two-way match. What do they need? What's the Bible telling them? With the goal of changing their beliefs and behavior. So if you go in teaching people and telling them what they already know and already do and don't struggle with, that's not going to help. Or if you go in teaching them things that they have no need for, it doesn't help anything. They are not struggling with Calvinism, believe it or not, right? They might someday, maybe you think about that, but the point is, if it's not needed, then maybe that's not the best thing to study. And finally, plan classroom activities and supporting materials that will do a bunch of good things. Help people remember, retention, make them understand it more deeply, right? Applications or a synthesis question, increase their commitment. So we saw, I think, Santi saying, okay, what are you going to do? Write it down before next week, one of his lessons. And provide feedback. So you're listening too. Did they get that? All those questions on the quiz, right? Did they really know the facts that are the basis for listening? Y'all okay with those? That's what we were trying to do. And I can't measure it. I cannot follow you around in your life. Goals are not measurable. They're aspirational. Right? But if I go in one of your classes and I come in and you've got quizzes on the on the chairs when I walk in and you break into groups and you have kind of a strange discussion or you ask a question that no one knows the answer to and makes everybody uncomfortable and you say, talk to each other and try to figure this out. Those kinds of techniques, I hope, that we would see those in the future. All right, you remember this chart, and what I was doing was saying, okay, our themes that we found in the book were character development, the importance of truth, conflict and difficulty, preserving our faith, that is as in Timothy, you know, not getting weaker or hanging in there or growing in his faith, and in a pure conscience, of course, with that, and service roles and duties, all right, those were the themes. We'll see those throughout. I like those two or three word descriptions. So we came up with these goals, all right? I have a problem with these goals. First of all, there's five. That's hard to manage. It's hard to remember. And second, they're kind of too wordy. So I puzzled over that. And I want to come up with something that we can remember better. And there's a couple keys to memory. One is it's not a text. You're not memorizing a script in a play. You got to remember one or two words for each one. Second, you need a mnemonic device, however you say that word, right? That means a device to help you remember. And often that device is a sequence, right? If I listed a bunch of objects, you know, ball, car, bush, curb, whatever, and, you know, maybe seven or eight of them, and ask you to remember those, you couldn't remember all of them. You remember some, especially over a long period of time. But if I said the child chased the ball over the curb into the street in front of the car, now you have a story, and that story will help you remember all those. You see what I mean? I've stuck it in the context of sequence or story or dependency or left and right or bad and good or before and after or cause and effect or whatever. So that helps you. All right. So let's work on the course goals. So what I was looking at here is it looks to me like some of these kind of are similar. For example, this is outward facing, isn't it? Address false teaching and facing evil. Those are outward facing. Develop ourselves. Inward facing, seems to me, right? And then clean conscience. That's really inward facing. That's almost invisible, sometimes even to us, right? Whereas this is more like our, our duty. We motivate ourselves to do the servant roles we're supposed to do. So it's a little outward facing. And finally, develop our skills, which is somewhere between our inner man and our outward action. We develop our skills. So I think of it this way: inner man, develop skills, help, be a servant, then aggressively address false teaching and defensively face evil. How's that? They're almost like a story. So let's see what that would look like. Look like this. Here's a simpler goal chart. Love Christ with a clean conscience. So I'm going to say love and clean conscience is number one. Where am I starting with that goal? Deep inside, right? It doesn't even address any action or response or defense or anything that kind of faces the outside world. Okay, but then after that, develop myself, my skills. Develop myself, my skills, my strength, my motivation to be a servant of Christ. And third, discharge my duties. Do something with it. Right? Reach outward. And you might even think of this as helping Christians more than anybody else. So love, that's a conscience. Self-development, that's skills and strength. And then outward duties, kind of a service and leadership. Then aggressively address false teaching. That means you have to watch for it. If you see it, you got to deal with it. And then finally, in a more defensive sense, be able to face the inevitable evil that will come. You don't want that. You're not searching out for that, but it comes, and you're able to defend yourself. How are we doing? Can you remember those? Let's try to remember the five things. What's the first one?
Love Christ with a clean conscience.
Clean conscience, that's right. What's the second one?
Develop
self. That's a skill. I'm not doing anything with it. Third?
Preserving the faith.
No. There's three that are kind of yourself. Inside, skills, and then
discharge
your duties as a servant, right? So inside, skills, and then service, right? Are you a mom? Do it. Are you a teacher? Do it. Are you a dad? Yes. You're a deacon? Whatever you are, discharge your duties as a leader and servant, right? Okay, those are three that have to do with myself. Now, what's the aggressive one?
False teaching,
address it, right, with truth. And then finally,
face evil
with boldness and strength and the word. Okay, is that all good? Try it one more time. Inside, with a clean conscience, develop your skills, strength to do it, then do something with it, duties, then aggressive, address false teaching with truth, and then finally, face evil with boldness. Are y'all good with that?
To see it more.
All right, I'll show it to you more. All right, so here it is. So here's the idea. That's your inner character. That's your skills. That's your initiative to go and do what you're supposed to do. That's your offense. Watch for, address false teaching, and that's your defense. Face evil with boldness. Does that help, Todd? So those are the one word. You can almost say inner character, skills, initiative, offense, and defense. Okay, y'all see what I'm doing here? These are not canonical things. I'm just showing you how you might think about a job you had was, let's just say you had to teach all these goals. And I've got to do this the first class period, right? I've got to set them up, class period one. This is not going to work, right? They're not organized. In any sequence that helps me, they're too wordy, that kind of thing. So now I can kind of convert them over into shorter phrases and then actually some mnemonic devices that will help me remember those.
That makes sense.
Okay? Like it or not, I'm going to do that next Sunday. I'm going to start with that. I say like it or not. You can talk me out of it if you want to. I've proposed this to a group of teachers, but I've tried to think through, okay, what do we need to do to get these goals where I can get arms around them? And I can give you a quick quiz on it, and I can refresh every time. And as you develop your lessons, you can say, this is our theme of inner character right here. Right? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and something or another. You see, that's what Timothy needs to be, the right kind of person inside. If he isn't, the rest of this stuff doesn't matter. See what I mean? I think that'll help us.
Yeah. Those are still based on the themes that we've identified. Like, those themes aren't...
Well, let's see.
They're not new.
No, they're not new. I just reorganized. Develop ourselves, address faults or useless teaching, face evil, clean conscience, and hone our skills of leadership and service.
We may have to change our questions slightly.
You might. That's right. And then, remember, these goals came out of the study of the book. What did we see over and over? Timothy, get yourself together, right? You're a soldier. Be skillful, right? Hey, deal with falseness, right? Hold to the word. All scripture is inspired of God and all those things, right? I'm not going to go through these. Hymenaeus and Philetus did me much harm, and they made shipwreck of the faith. Blah, blah. So, and then, preserving our faith. This one and this one, I had trouble kind of sorting them out. But I felt like this word development stood out for skills, and this one had to be more of my inner man and conscience and all that. So maybe that's what I did. And then you got a job to do. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Take the charge. This charge I give to you, Timothy, and all those kind of things are. And then I think all those things to say, I desire, therefore, that the younger widows marry, bear children, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. What's he saying to Timothy to tell those widows? Step up in your life. Do something useful, right? Same with elders. Same with young men and older men. So all those are... Anyway, so... A good question, Corey. I left the impression I made up new ones. No. I think what I tried to do was kind of take the definitions, which are a little blurry, get them more in focus, right? Put them in a sequence that you could remember them and shorten them. So that's what I did. You all okay with that?
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing about this class is we got 10 teachers. So
I know.
Do all 10 of us all agree that these are the five, like, not just agree, but do we at least understand?
Good question.
Yeah, you've already come up with it. Well done, General. You have lessons.
Right.
Can we all get on board with this? If not, let's get it figured out now, what he means by that, so that we can all be on the same page, because he's kicking it off, and he's going to say, this is our class. So now we got to be, in lockstep with him. So it's like tactical kind of today.
It is. And I'll say it's a little bit of an artificial problem, because you probably won't be teaching in the future with 10 other teachers.
It's kind of cool. But
And I'm thinking that when I'm at home, am I shortchanging these guys the opportunity? Because they've got to figure out how to do this, right? And I thought, well, we can spend all class period arguing about the words. And I've been in corporate leadership meetings where we spent almost 2 days writing on a piece of paper this big to try to figure out what our mission was. Y'all ever been in one of those things?
Yeah. And I've led those.
Yes.
And I've led them to get done in time.
Yes, so that's right. Well, time always helps. But I'm just telling you that you got 10 people, you got 10 ideas, probably more than that. And you got to distill it. And all that's is it good, it's helpful, everybody benefits from the rationale. I'm not sure it's the most efficient use of time, as opposed to coming in with a baseline and saying, let's argue about it if you want to, but here's what I think.
And that's why I was wanting to make sure these guys know they can at least get on board.
Right. And so you have a few minutes, because I'll teach this Sunday, and you don't have to have your lesson to hand out till the week before, so you can do whatever edits you want. And by next Sunday, I may have evolved this a little bit more. I don't think so. I'll resist that if you want me to. Okay. But I do want to illustrate that coming up with the goals is a kind of an iterative, refining process, and you want it to be memorable and simple. But then over the course of the 13 lessons, we're going to flesh these out, and lots of new ideas will be added in, and so you know, maybe they become richer and fuller, and then the next time you teach it, you make them even better, and so on. So, okay. I keep thinking of calling the football play analogy. All right, this is not a play right here. This is kind of our strategy for the game. All right, we're going to emphasize the run. Right, we're going to pass just enough to keep the defense honest. That's what we're going to do. You see what I'm saying? Now, that didn't mean every play will be this or that or the other, but you can see this is a kind of a general approach we're trying to take for the game. Right? We're going to isolate their superstar, Heisman candidate, double team when he looks like he's going to go out. These are just things we're going to keep doing. Right? So, that's the idea. God's question still stands, by the way. You wouldn't have to, you can't not, you know, critique this. You have to, well, by next Sunday morning, it's too late. But, yeah, before that. All right, let's do this right quick. See if you can do this. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. There's blanks there for you to use quickly. Fill in the chapter title. See if you can do that without making a reference to any notes or anything. If you can, we'll skip this exercise and move on. Oh, sorry. Bad management. One last point. So what I did was I took the verses that I think are illustrative, not exhaustive, but illustrative of the themes, and I redid them again. All right, so I rewrote the theme titles, and I scrambled the verses back to make them kind of fit. And I tried to keep them in sequence, but I had to do this earlier, a version of this. I probably should have labeled it with, you know, Rev 2 or something. All right, but you see what I've done here? So you can look through this and see if any of these verses are in your lessons. That would be one thing to look for. And there probably are more and better, but still, that was my attempt to, again, go back. And these are the verses that I'll use in the exercise Sunday morning to have the class try to discover the themes, all right, somehow. So we'll get to that. Y'all okay with that? So you should, and I even put them in the proper order and so on. All right, now do the chapter exercise. Yes. If you don't know, don't write it down, because then you'll have to cross it out. Correct it.
Start from the beginning.
Okay. So rather than go through these right answers, let me go around. How many of you think you got them all right? You're confident you got them every single one right? Okay, that's helpful. How many of you think you know, maybe only just one or two? Okay. Okay, I think you get the flashcards then. Let's try that. All right. Okay, did you see what I just did? Is I was trying to get some feedback. I don't know if we've done this enough to get it stuck in your mind or not. I think we did it, but it was too long ago. And you guys have had, lessons in between. So let's see what we can do. I should have arranged these in order. But that's okay. Let's just do them as they are. 1 Timothy 3.
Others of Deacons.
Yes. And, that's kind of maybe one of the most familiar passages, but you just got to remember that. 1 Timothy 4.
Yes,
false and true. Of course, if you're teaching that section, you have a little bit of an advantage for that. Yeah, maybe. What is the elders and others, widows and others? It's five, yeah. So remember, if you add 1 and 4, you get 5. And then if you add 2 Timothy 3, you get the perilous times, which is a very similar text. Almost every time somebody makes a reference to 1 Timothy 4, which is a prophecy, you know, in the last times, you know, whatever, but these are false teachers. And then the latter part of this chapter is kind of more turns personally to Timothy to say, here's the character you need to have. And so there's the contrast. And it's in this order, false and godly teaching, right? Okay, that, so there's one. I would almost put this to the side now and say, well, that's one that was a struggle. Maybe it was. Okay, don't say it right out loud, but let's think about it. Okay, 1 Timothy 2. I heard men and women and one other. Okay, but men and women is right. Okay. Remember, one of the mnemonics we had was that after the initial charge, which is chapter 1, that's the gimme, it's pairs the rest of the way. Remember that? Remember the pairs? 1 Timothy? So men and women, then in chapter 3, what?
Elders
and deacons, chapter 4, false and true, 5, widows and others, and then 6 is
rich
and poor, yeah. So if you can remember their pairs, I don't know how you keep them, you know, maybe you can, 6 is such a high number, it must be rich people, right?
Yeah.
Something, you know, you got to work with your brain. 1 Timothy 5, we just did the pairs.
Widows and others.
Yeah. 2 Timothy 3, remember? It's perilous times, right? And it matches that other chapter, 1 Timothy 4, right? Okay, and both of them actually are false and true in a way, because it's perilous times. And then he says, actually he alternates, we'll do that lesson in a minute, but he gets into, but Timothy, you've got to abide in the things that you've learned, knowing from whom you've learned them, right? And all scripture is inspired, they will make men, you know, complete for every good work, etc. So that's the latter part of this as an answer to perilous times. Okay? 1 Timothy 1, too easy. 2 Timothy 4. Now, you know that's the last one. Right? All right, so that's... And then 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1.
Is that like a keep the faith or something?
It's like that, yeah. Ashamed or afraid, so maybe that's it, right? Hold on, not ashamed, or something like that, right? Okay, 1 Timothy 6, a very high number. Yeah, rich and poor. Or poor and rich in that order, right? And then 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2.
Yeah,
part of it. It is. It's images of servants, right? So it's farmer, soldier, athlete, vessel, servant, and probably architect or something. All right, how are we doing? Okay, let's give it one more pass. I think we'll have it. Which is harder, to look at the text and think of the theme, or look at the theme and think of the text? I think this is harder, don't you?
Yeah, I feel like you've given us some tips, though.
Well, how to work. Well, but I wonder if those tips are reciprocal. You know, are they? Do they work both ways? I don't know.
There's a lot of potential answers to this. There's only 10 answers to the other one.
Good point. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
False and true.
Yeah, because you add 1 and 4 and you get 5. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was that again? What was the size of 5?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3 actually are very similar.
Okay.
In the sense they both address the terrible character and teaching that's coming. Now this one deals with things like forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats and all that. Whereas in the other text, it's like without natural affection. I mean, depraved people. You know, it's kind of a harsher thing. This is more to do with the teaching itself. And then, of course, Timothy's character is the kind of false and true side. Okay, 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Remember, it's in the pair section. You know,
widows and others.
Yeah, widows and others. 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3, perilous times, right? And then, of course, the positive side of Scripture. 2 Timothy 4. Yeah, last chapter. 2 Timothy 1.
Hold on, but not ashamed.
Yeah, that's right. So however you want to do it, not a shade or ashamed or afraid. 1 Timothy 6.
Richard
high number. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2.
Images
of service. Postpone your answer briefly, let everybody think of it. 1 Timothy 1. Oh, 2. Sorry. And then 1 Timothy 3. Yeah, it's pairs, elders and deacons in that order. And then 1 Timothy 2 in the pair section. All right, we doing better?
Yeah.
All right. So those are, I'm not going to edit them, I don't think, for next time, but we'll do this. All right, so we got that done, I hope. We can do it one more time. Now, the easy thing is to do them in order. Let's just do it that way. 1 Timothy, first chapter.
Reading message call orders.
What's next?
Men and women. Elders and deacons.
Pair.
First one, false teachers.
Yep, false and true. It starts with false teaching. And then 5. Widows and others. And 6.
Poor
and rich. Remember, it's that order. Which is backward from what we think, but that's okay. And 2 Timothy 1.
Hold on, I'm not ashamed.
Yep. Number 2, chapter 2.
Ministry.
And then 3.
Perseverance.
4.
All
right, here we go. All right, this is our schedule for the classes. I think it's fixed. No, it's not. This is an old one. Help me, Kevin. I think you got shifted down one, didn't you? Because of VBS.
I
think you're on a Sunday, and then I'll do the Wednesday. So this is wrong, but it only affects Kevin and I because the VBS is right here.
The teachers are right, the dates are wrong, is what you're saying.
Correct. That's so this should be 17, that should be
20,
that's a Wednesday. So it would be Sunday here, and then Wednesday.
That's all right.
All right. So we did have a dropout for various reasons, and so this one is open. Russ, you're not available, are you? You're not here at all. I was going to
teach you Galatians. I'm trying to figure out how to cut my goals down to more hidden words for today's class.
For next hearing, yeah.
Yeah.
Of the next quarter.
I should have brought that in as an exercise. All right. To help Jake and me.
So we have a little time to think about this. What I was going to do is, in the absence of a dry run, because I think it's good for us all to have seen each other's lessons, I have a lesson. This is it. I just handed it out, and it's called Lesson 11, not Period 11. All right, and I edited it very slightly. I think this was the product of the last workshop, but then I edited it a little bit more and used it myself to teach back in 2020 when we did a class. And so this is a version of a lesson that looks somewhat like yours. All right, and so it's perilous times and godly men. Again. Look down at the text on the right. You can see, know this, the last day's perilous times will come. And you just have this list of 19 awful things. All right, so that's part of the story. And I think from the standpoint of application, I ask myself, do people really face in the world this kind of ungodliness? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents? Unthankful, unholy, unloving. That's the without natural affection. Unforgiving, slanderers, all those kind of things. So the question will be, how do we apply this? Are we worried about some of these things, seeing it in ourselves? Or are we worried about dealing with it in the world around us? And if we are, the theme facing evil is just like screaming out. Right? Yeah.
Good question. What is the number, like next to the objectives, what is the number 3, number 2, number 3, number 2? Does that go back to goals?
It does. Thank you for noting that. And those are not correct.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Good point.
Okay, because it's also on the application question.
Okay, good.
Well.
That's great. So. Right. So, whoever did this lesson, which obviously wasn't me because I don't remember doing that. Thought, well, I'll just tie my objectives to the goals. Clever guy. I don't even remember who did it. But, yeah.
So, okay. So, in terms of... So, our first official lesson is...
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because Wednesday's it.
And I'm teaching that. It's the overview.
Yes. Yeah. Do we... Are you included in the analysis?
I'm not doing much analysis.
No. Who is analyzing if you hit your goals in time?
Oh, all you guys. We'll meet and go through it.
Is there a structure? Do we have a structure?
Yeah, I'll get to that. Yeah, I do. I have an evaluation sheet and all that. So if I get done in time, we had a little setback when we had to go over the chapters, but anyway. All right, so I'm not going to go through these a lot. I do not have my class, a class plan. I'm thinking I'm not going to teach this. I'm thinking somebody else will, but here's a starter lesson if you wanted to work with that. Here's some of the charts that I used last time I taught it. It turns out the word Greek word for but is day. It's not quite the same as English but it's shown in blue here. And it does reflect often a change in logic. So Paul's saying this, but this is true, but this, but also this, but also this. So that you get the sense of a tumbling kind of reasoning, as in a personal letter, to say, well, all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution, but evil being impossible will grow worse and worse, but you must continue. You see, he's kind of, you know, in a way, interchanging kind of ideas, right? And of course, it's not always translated, but. And sometimes the English word but is in here, and it's not the Greek word day. I think there's a case of that, too.
Is it day?
Day, D-E. D-E. Day. That's a Greek day, I think, so what you say. They probably said death or something, some strange thing, but anyway. And then the other thing is, notice the white and the yellow. This is the terrible world. This is what you do in response, right? Carefully follow, continuing the things. All scripture is, so there's kind of the, here's evil, here's the response. So that's kind of the theme of the lesson. Where do we find these and how do we implement the yellow? Here's another point of the theme. Does this view graph do something for you? Do you see the point of this view graph right away? I was going to take a little more time if you had it about the visuals. One of my sons, Daniel, sent me a TEDx talk on PowerPoint. And the guy's pretty good. One thing he says is don't use white background because that'll be the brightest thing in the room and people will look at that, not you. And of course, you know, very few words, these few pictures. We talked about that. Two verbal channels, one to your ear, in your brain. Your ear and your eyes can take in verbal sound waves and light patterns, but your brain can't take them both. It can do one or the other. So if you're looking at this and listening to me, you're not going to be reading it. You're going to be listening to me. Or you're not going to be listening to me, you're going to be reading that. But the point is there some picture you get here? What's the point of this chart? What's wrong with the people in perilous time? I mean, can you get the point of
loving my mom thing?
Yeah, misdirected love. That's kind of the idea. You see that word appears over and over. So, no lovers of God, lovers of pleasure, not lovers, and so on. And this is a different Greek word, interestingly, but it means they're missing a very... And I'm not sure this is useful. This is actually just confuse you. You stumble out of the room thinking, what was that about? But in the process of teaching it, some of these words were really kind of cool. When you look at the Greek word and think of the English derivatives from that, it helps bring some richness to the meaning, right? So in the last days, guess what? Eschatology, you notice that word there. And Kairos is a season, not a chronos. And chronos does appear to seem like later somewhere. I can't remember. Anyway, theo-pneuma, right? Pneumatic. So God breathed, right? That's that word. So it just seemed like a lot of these were kind of interesting to look at.
Those philotos.
What's that?
Philotos.
Yeah, philos, love, and where did you see the other one?
No, it's the fourth word. Philotos.
Yeah, also, yeah, good, yeah. And the other thing, notice, look how many A's there are. What does that A mean in the front of all those words?
Non-term.
It means the opposite, right? So they're without something. So basically in this list, they're without a bunch of things. Storge is, of course, one of the three Greek words for love. Phileo and agape and eros, if you want to count that as a fourth. It's not in the Bible. But. And then, et cetera. So a lot of these things are kind of cool. There's a philo, there's another word, without love something, without love toward good or virtuous. So kind of interesting. I find those interesting kind of brings some richness. And then I have a little discussion of what the last times are. And what we learn about the perilous people who make up the perilous times, these are people that have these characteristics, and so on. So you get the idea. They'll progress no further, but they grow worse and worse. How do we reconcile that? So that's kind of interesting thought progressing, and so on. So chiastic picture of evil men and imposters who are deceiving. Well, that's the imposters, and being deceived, that's the evil men who want to be deceived. Please, tell me something that I'd like to hear. And in the next chapter, you see itching ears and keeping up themselves teachers because they don't want to listen to the truth. So there's a deceiver, and there's a person who wishes to be deceived. Please tell me something better, different, right? And that's interesting. So some ideas. All right, so we've talked about, I'm changing topics now, teaching techniques. And so I think these were in one of the lessons. I think, did I put it in here? No, it's, anyway, I talked about this. We've mentioned pairwise or group discussions, the good things about that. You know, here are the things that are helpful, managing open discussions. Visuals themselves, we just talked about that, one verbal mental channel, but comes through two sense organs. Again, the guests, what I'm about to show is kind of troubling exercise. You got to think about how to overcome that without a whiteboard, unfortunately. We may have a whiteboard, right, if we're in that classroom. So you might want to consider that. All right, I'm down to the last point, and that is we've done all this in the workshop, okay? I would suggest that after you edit your lesson, right before you print it out, I always do the lesson as if I've never seen it before. Sit down with a paper copy and space to write, and just read it as if you've never done it. You know why, right? Because invariably there'll be references wrong, or there'll be, you know, some unclear thing, or some, if you're OCD like me, the numbers will be twisted up or whatever. Bad references are like the bane of homework. Because what happens is a person's at home and they cannot make sense of the reference you've given. It may be a real verse and they're reading it over and over, and there's nothing in here about elders, you know.
Just as Jesus wept.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, two things happen. One is that frustrates them, and they kind of start trying to figure out, okay, well, I'm not understanding any of this. Yeah. And second, they finally decide, well, it's just a bad reference. Now what's happened is they've lost confidence in your lesson sheet. Right? You ever had that happen? Now all other references are suspect, right? So I don't know. But anyway, so that's a good thing to do. Just check it out. If it's something you hand out in class, you can correct that real time, but I think the take-home thing is a special danger. Okay, we've done all this. We did this as a group. Now we're down to practical preparation. And I'm going to suggest, and this is what you can put on your lesson sheet as notes. This is called period 13 at the very bottom, where it says teaching preparation. This is what I want you to do, and then I'll talk about the review. Not later than the class period before you teach. Not later. Probably not too much earlier either, or people just lose it. But not later than that. Revise, print, distribute, however you want to. Email, Dropbox, vestibule table. And by the way, whisper to the announcer their lessons for the Timothy class on the table in the back. You can do that. And, of course, in-house, in hand, in class, before you teach, you can hand it out, the homework. Step number two, before the class period itself, print all your stuff out, quizzes, group assignments, reference material. And again, if you can do it the period before, it's better. Come really early. As we mentioned, the copy room is usually a zoo, and you'll get yellow sheets coming out, or they'll be out of paper. That also happened this morning. It was out of paper once we took the yellow out. And so on. Or it won't be working or something. So a backup plan is probably good. You know, you can bring it on a thumb drive if it's a PDF format and you can print it. But if you don't know how to do that, you need to practice or figure that out. Or go to Kinko's, just not anymore, FedEx, you know. The other thing I would suggest is try your computer out with a projector. You notice I had problems this morning. This is the law of physics. This is the law of nature. The less time you allow, the more problems you will have. I don't know why it works when I go to the airport. If I leave 2 hours early, I get there faster than I ever have gotten there. If I only leave 15 minutes, everything will go wrong. Right? I'll leave something at home. The train. I'll just miss the MARTA train. You know, I mean, that's the law of nature. So I come in here today. I thought I got 5 minutes. I'm good to go. Of course, the source is not selected, so you got to sort that out. So, if any of you want to arrange the chairs, you're free to do that. You also should feel free to email the students. My job next Sunday is to try to get all the emails somehow or another from the class and create a list that you guys can use. That may be just a reminder, hey, here's the lesson, you can go to this link if you want, or here's a copy in the email or whatever. And more is better. And then revise your class planning worksheet, print 5 copies to give to, not Russ, but to me, Matt Lagrone, who's had the class, Mason, who's had it, and Dustin have all volunteered to come in and be feedback givers. Okay, so you know, I'm talking about the schedule, you know, by minute and objectives, class. So,
one more thing, I'm sorry.
That
first one, that's harder with the group here, but you really ought to send it to David Williams, too. We're trying to press David to make sure that the website is more easily used.
In the moment?
In the moment.
Even real time.
To get material off of it. For a long time, it was very easy. It hasn't been the last few segments. I don't know why. But a lot of class participants want to go to the website and find it on Tuesday night for the class.
Yeah, that's right. Me too. All right, so that's our format. I went on the Dropbox site. This is a pretty much the template that's there. You should be able to use it. I thought, well, I'll fix it and make it. But it really was what I wanted it to be. So it looks like this. That's what it looks like on the Dropbox site. So try to use it. And then, of course, the text box has. And by the way, put the text box. It's called inline or type or something if you're using Word as a way of inserting the graphical object. Here's the feedback to your question earlier. The evaluation will include how were your goals and objectives, how useful were the study materials that we had, what did you have in the class, was it organized, did you achieve your objectives, did you illuminate the text in new and useful ways.
Are those check marks? What will you put?
Words.
Okay.
And
two or three or paragraphs?
So what I use it for is I just use it for my own note taking. So that's a struggle for me because I can't do two things at once. So either I'm listening to the class or I'm writing down feedback. That's really hard. So it'll be very brief words.
Okay.
And what I will often do, because it takes a long time to do the feedback, we just talk about every single thing. I'll generally highlight the things that I think were exemplary, or maybe a real problem and could have been improved or something, so that we kind of zero in on learning about teaching rather than just evaluating. And then this is the timeline. This red graph will come from your schedule, right? Because it's the ideal. So this many minutes, this many minutes. So it should be a straight line. And then, of course, I'll put an actual dot as you teach the material and get some sense of how well you track the time. Don't make this the focus of your effort. I mean, Jake or somebody said, or that's the one thing he always does. He makes this schedule. And, well, okay. Remember, this is a football play, right? So if you got something like this, this is probably bad planning right here. Whatever you were going to do, this is probably Marty, as a matter of fact. I was going to review and be done, and I lost almost 10 minutes by reviewing too long. Now, that's worth looking at. So you get the idea. All right. There we go. So all of these view graphs are on the Dropbox refresh. All the files that have, from our period worksheets and all that, that's all in there. There's extra material in there if you want to see their maps and outlines and things. Okay, what were we going to do? Oh, objectives. So look at your period 13 sheet. Is the second dollar on?
Yes.
I didn't hear.
Can
you list the 5 goals for the upcoming course? Let's try it. We worked on that. We simplified it. So, how do you do it? Corey says yes, he can. Do it.
Love Christ.
Okay, that's the inner man.
Right. The second one would be developing.
Develop my skills. That's good. Develop myself. Third.
Number 3 is like actually do those things.
Do something with it. Discharge your duties. Then.
4 is address evil teacher.
Yeah, false teaching. Aggressively look for it and recognize it. And then 5.
And the 5th one is. Oh, man.
That's offensive. The last one is defensive.
Defense is... be prepared for evil.
Yes, face evil with courage. Okay. All right. So at least Corey has accomplished that objective.
Good job, Corey.
Can you list all the first, second Timothy chapter content phrases?
Yeah.
Okay. We relearned that, perhaps. Can you describe the expectations for preparing the upcoming material before you teach it? Main thing is a week before, the class period before, have a lesson to hand out, and then come with your...
Do you want us to add that chart to the back of our class plan sheet?
What chart? The time chart?
No. Or print out an extra for you?
I print out a bunch of blank ones.
Oh, you already have them?
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'll give them out to whoever. I'll give them to you, too. I mean, it's just for me, it's just a little bit of a reminder. And I may not even have comments on all of them. Finally, I did not do the fourth objective. We skipped over that because we spent more time on the chapter content. But I was going to talk about, you know, body language and, you know, things that you can do to extinguish behaviors and, you know, stuff like that. I'm not there. All right, good. We'll see.
What would be the activities for that lesson 11? That PowerPoint was really good, but I didn't see any activities along
with it. I know.
I'm trying to remember what it is.
Yeah, crafting a PowerPoint is its own class, I think. Or is it crafting a PowerPoint or even the visuals is its own? You could do 30 classes
right.
And just that.
Exactly right. I know.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember.
Because it didn't look like there was actually a plan, but I'm sure like it was really it like integrated well with the PowerPoint, where you can feel like
yeah
jump
yeah
like oh we're stopping this and doing this and coming back here.